It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, September 8th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Hacking has gone from a term we need to define to a household discussion topic. Maybe it was talking about the Target data breach or leaks from celebrity iCloud accounts. It might have been the announcement that healthcare.gov was compromised or that JP Morgan Chase is pursuing a network of computers used to steal financial data. All of this has been on the top of our minds, and while these things are in the ether, we wanted to talk to one of our regulars about the multi-billion dollar industry dedicated to protecting everything from intellectual property to the private photos we take. Chester Wisniewski of the cybersecurity firm Sophos was actually at an off-the-record gathering of security experts, policymakers, and academics over the weekend. Chester, hello.
Good to hear from you.
Do you think that there's a way these technologies that we're all using can actually be built better to accommodate for our own laziness as users, as regular people?
I certainly think we can do a better job, but I'm not sure we're prepared to pay the cost.
But why not make something like two-step authentication that I know you and I have talked about before? Why do you think companies don't make that a requirement for their services?
It puts them at a competitive disadvantage with the majority of the public as the challenge. I've spoken to banks about this problem, and they say if we force our customers to bank with us with a second factor, say an SMS to their telephone or a token of some sort on their key ring, they'll switch to a bank that doesn't have it.
And I can imagine this problem, right? There's this promise of technology that it makes things more convenient. So if you reduce that convenience, then maybe people start asking, why am I even using this technology?
I think we're going to see two things in the market happen. One, we're going to see entire industries decide that as a group, they're going to do something to improve security so that no one is at a competitive disadvantage. The other thing I think we're going to see happen is I think consumers are getting fed up with breach notification letters and replacement credit cards, et cetera, and may start to put a higher value on security themselves and even be willing to pay a premium for it.
Can you tell me about a cultural change that you'd actually like to see within your own industry, within the security industry itself?
I'd like to see more well-informed security professionals find ways of relating both to people who are creating public policy and to management within the private sector, the importance of this issue and how serious of a problem it is.
You're telling me that the old trope of it's hard to talk to the IT guy is actually a continuing thing.
It's perceived to be that way, right? And
yeah,
it's difficult sometimes to put things in context with the general public. And I think if we make more of an effort to do that, perhaps we can start taking this seriously. I think all these news headlines this week go a long way toward making the general public aware that something is wrong and kind of demanding that both companies and governments do something about it. So maybe that pressure will bring us all together.
Chester Wisniewski, our friend at cybersecurity firm Sophos. Chester, thank you very much for talking through this with me.
Thanks, Ben.
Streaming music services continue to look like the future of listening. Digital album download sales were down almost 12% this year, and single track sales down even more, suggesting that people like to pay for a service and just stream instead of paying for digital copies of what they like. But there's an interesting number for one particular genre of digital downloads. Salsa music, up 14% last year. Could the Latin market improve the industry's outlook? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Google, I want to go salsa dancing tonight for any major American city, and you're likely to turn up a place like this. It's a popular club in Los Angeles that's packed several nights a week with dancers spinning, dipping, and flipping their partners across the floor. Learning to do this flashy, athletic, and intimate dance form takes time and money. Sarah Riddle owns the Viscount Studio in Portland, Oregon. She's done a good business teaching salsa to Latinos and others, even through the recession.
People are struggling, and they want to spend money on things that feel good. And so there's an increase in that market.
The Latin market, not just salsa from the Caribbean, but also Mexican regional music, is one of the bright spots for the industry. Latin digital music sales were up twice as much as the rest of the market last year. Consultant Peggy Dold says the Hispanic market skews young. Latinos listen to radio, use online streaming services like Pandora, watch music and dance videos more than other ethnic groups. And the music itself plays a part.
It's incredibly seductive. I mean, it's so rhythmic. Nobody can not move when you hear, you know, phenomenally played salsa music.
Salsa is now expanding across the U.S. and overseas, with flashy competitions hosted in Japan, Germany, Morocco. In Portland, Oregon recently, partner teams from as far away as Idaho and British Columbia spent hundreds of dollars on travel and sequined costumes to compete. The Latin rap artist Carcelo was in town from New York showcasing his urban salsa, a crossover genre.
So now we're taking salsa to a pop culture level by English rapping, but with traditional salsa music. Salsa is here to stay, and it's going to just get bigger.
At a time when the music market overall is struggling, that's one sweet note for the industry. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Thank you.
And before we go, I'll be in San Francisco for TechCrunch's Disrupt event all this week. You'll be in the capable hands of my Marketplace colleague, Noel King, in the meantime. But you can follow my startup adventures on Twitter. I'm at The Brock Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.